There's a simple reason why hundreds of thousands of Americans face eviction. They can't afford their rent. One in four low-income families pays more than 70% of their income on rent, leaving little money for other bills, not to mention unplanned expenses. NPR's Pam Fessler has the second in our series about the lack of affordable housing and its impact on low-income tenants and landlords.
I first met Megan Limes outside the courtroom of the landlord-tenant branch of Washington, D.C.'s Superior Court. That's where tenants go when they've been sued by their landlords for not paying the rent. Limes wore a black apron and purple shirt with the logo of a local grocery store where she works part-time. When asked by the judge why she owed more than $3,300, Limes said she was struggling to make ends meet.
And basically he was like, so the only reason why you're behind on rent is because you can't pay rent. And I was like, yeah, that's the only thing. And he said, well, send out a writ. And I was just like, wow. Like, is there any way I can get some help?
The writ she's talking about is a writ of restitution. It directs the U.S. Marshals Service to begin eviction proceedings. When Limes mentioned this, it was a week after she was in court, where we can't record. Instead, we sat in her three-bedroom apartment in Southeast Washington, where many of the city's poorest residents live. It felt like someplace people were just passing through. Empty walls, plastic bins stuffed with clothes on the floor. Limes fully expected to be homeless any day.
Good morning. Today is Wednesday, March 9, 2016, and all evictions by the U.S. Marshals are going to take place in the southeast and southwest.
Every morning she had to call the court to see if her apartment was scheduled for eviction that day. It can sometimes take weeks before the marshals actually show up at the door.
And it's like really scary. Like I try so hard not to cry. Like I would like, oh my God, if they come today, what am I going to do?
Limes lives with her 4-year-old son and 8-year-old daughter.
And I also have my niece. She's 18 and she's been going from house to house. So I told her just come stay with me until, you know, she get on her feet.
Her ailing father was living there too, although he died shortly after this interview. Limes is pretty typical of those who end up in rent court, single mother, juggling a lot on her own. She says the father of one of her children is in prison. The other is a deadbeat dad. She lost a full-time job last October, and her new one is only 20 hours a week. At $10.50 an hour, that's not nearly enough to cover her $1,275 a month rent.
They're living on a very tight margin.
Judge Judith Bartnoff presides over the D.C. court that includes the landlord-tenant branch. She thinks many of the thousands of tenants who come before the court each year can afford their rent at some point, but just barely.
And if something happens, if somebody gets sick, if somebody gets hurt, if somebody loses their job, then it throws the whole system off.
Which is why the hallway outside the landlord-tenant courtroom is routinely packed with renters trying to work out a deal with their landlord's attorneys. Some offer payment plans so a tenant can catch up, but many renters just agree to move out. Or like Megan Limes, resign themselves to eviction, which doesn't solve a thing.
It really drives people deeper into a state of hardship.
Harvard sociologist Matthew Desmond spent more than a year following low-income renters and landlords in Milwaukee, which he details in his new book called Evicted. Desmond says evictions are not just a result of poverty, but a cause, that it makes lives more unstable. People not only lose their homes,
but you often lose your neighborhood and your school. You know, children often have to switch schools and miss long stretches.
And families often end up in areas with more crime and poorer quality housing. Megan Limes is worried about that. She wants to move, but even studio apartments are $800 a month, which she can't afford.
It's like I'm stuck here. I don't know where else to go. I don't want to go to the shelter. I'm trying to get help, but I can't find help anywhere.
She did get some temporary assistance from the city a few years ago, but permanent housing aid is almost impossible to find. Limes applied 8 years ago for vouchers to help cover her rent.
And nothing. I'm still, what, 1,000 something?
That's 1,000th on the waiting list. The city recently had to shut down the list because it had more than 70,000 names on it. Across the U.S., only 1 in 4 people who qualify for public housing or vouchers actually gets them. 5 weeks after my first visit with Limes, furniture was piled on the curb outside her apartment complex. Mattresses, CDs, a flat-screen TV. 2 other families had been evicted that day. But Limes was still waiting, worried that she and her kids would end up back in the city's homeless shelter where they lived in 2012.
It was hard, and it's like, it was disgusting, and I don't want to put my kids in that situation again.
But then, a week later, she got a temporary reprieve. Limes received her earned income tax credit check from the IRS and was able to pay off what she owed. Now she's got to worry about next month's rent. Pam Fessler, NPR News.
Tomorrow on Morning Edition, we'll hear from a woman who says she's not paying her rent because of poor housing conditions.